Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to look at the week in Mac, deal with all the news, have some fun, drink some beer, and start the weekend off right. Joining me for that process, Don this morning. This afternoon. He's gone off doing something else. But I still have an intrepid panel with me. Top left, taking the seat, Dr. Happy Mac. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Busy. Just managed to slide into place for this afternoon. So,
are you feeling a little more talkative this week?
Yes, hopefully I'll shout out.
You were the invisible man last week, mate. I left you alone. You looked like you were happy, so that's all that mattered. Now then, how did retro go with you and Will?
No, we haven't done it yet.
I thought you did a pilot last Sunday.
No, 12th of September.
Oh, right, okay. Well, okay. We'll talk about something else then. Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Much better than, you know, 3 weeks ago.
I was going to say, 2 weeks ago. Have you grown webbing between your fingers and toes?
No, thank God we didn't have to, but many. Yeah. I actually just feel for the lot of people that weren't so fortunate over here.
No, I'm not trying to make light of it. I know you did tell me there was garbage cans floating down your street.
Yeah. It was scary, but we were very much blessed compared to a lot of people. So, but things are drying out. Things are getting back to normal around here. And, you know, I admire the people over here. Their spirit is amazing how they can go through a calamity as such, because I was just literally off my head, and my wife is actually the sane one in the house.
And you were unscathed.
I was just thinking about all the everything, you know, and everything, computers and
you're loving rugby union.
Oh, loving rugby union. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got me into it. I mean, I liked rugby league. That's what I first really started watching, because it's fast paced and everything. But yeah, reunion, man. It's much more complicated and much.
It's not an intelligent man's game of rugby.
Yeah. It's a funner game to watch. And I know that's not a word, but that's how I feel.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be watching. Next to Kyle, we got Mr. Forsman. How's it going, pal?
Hello.
Have you perked up anything in the last half hour? Because the photo show, you were a little bit under par.
I had some Cheerios on the break.
Good.
So I'm feeling a little better.
Good, man. Glad you put it. Yeah. Excellent. Uh-huh. And last but by no means least, Mr. Green, how are you doing, man?
I'm very well, thank you.
How's life been this week?
Busy. I've set up a new website.
Oh, excellent. What have you set up?
Well, it's called the EDAM Project. And
right.
The what?
The EDAM project.
EDAM.
Yeah, as in, yeah. It's like the EDAM project, but made out of cheese. And it's I'm doing a website about that. So it's a whole sort of virtual cheese world called the EDAM project.
You have some fantastic ideas, Greeny. I really wish I was you.
I mean, isn't that a great idea? I can't believe anybody hasn't thought of that before.
The EDAM project. Did you buy the website and everything from UK?
EDAMproject.com.
Good luck.
EDAMproject.com. It's by the time folks listen to this, it'll be live. But I've been sculpting little pieces of EDAM and making them look like the domes at the EDAM.
I was going to say, have you done the crystal dome things? Because that's quite hard. I would have thought.
Yeah, it's I've sort of doing imagine you're looking down at it if you're in an aeroplane, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the nice sort of Devon countryside, and we've got the little EDAM sculptures there, and I've got some little plastic men that I pinched off my toddler to make sure it looks like it's in proportion,
right,
to the EDAMs, and I've got great hopes for it, really.
Excellent. Chat room wants to know if there's a blue vein running through the middle.
not as yet.
Or at the side.
Can you not confirm, Will, that you might have some free time on your hands?
No, to be honest, was it last Sunday night? I was pissed and I thought, what a great idea. The EDAM project. So I sort of whipped open old Photoshop and just and quickly knocked it together. But it wasn't really the version I did looked like some piss bloke had just taken a few pictures of EDMs and stuck them on top of one of the regular thingies, you know, publicity shoots for the Eden project. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to my exacting standards. So there we are. But I am putting together something special. And my cool thing at the end of the this is good. This is called, is it a hook? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, go on then. Go on.
Yeah. If you're a website developer, I've got probably the best tip in the world ever. It's coming up at the end of the show and it's free.
The best ever.
Best ever.
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 It's the best
remember
ever.
Where you were when Will Green delivered the best ever tip on this show.
When he comes to website development.
You'll be going, oh my God.
Oh dear,
that's
dear.
The best.
What did ever. I just do? The Week in Mac, it's been interesting. Someone's managed to bring out a temple to the iPad. This is a stand that you can buy to put your iPad in and show it in its true glory. There you go. Would you buy
it's funny
one
that
of those?
They're using, it's funny they're using an iPad 1 there.
Is it? Is that a 1? Oh, this, I suppose the picture's
that's
the one.
That's the screen of the one. I'm just and there's not that many icons, so I'm going with the one.
No, that's the one with the shooting stars in it. No? I'm trying to find the story to find out what it's called.
Sorry.
It's available from piececrap.com. And, I can't find the name. I had this all. There we go. It's the Sound Shrine. Apparently, it's a set of speakers. On the side there. Yeah, it's the Sound Shrine is the most luxurious looking iPad dot you'll ever own. I've really got to question that statement. It's been created by a Barbarian photographer, George Dinkel. It loosely translates from the German to Sound Shrine. It's called Ton Shrine. It'll cradle your iPad in an ornate design, golden coloured polymer clay. Which doesn't sound cheap and nasty at all, does it? The dock also adds a 2.1 sound system to the tablet device. It's a conversation price, but sadly, it's not for sale at the moment. It's still only a concept device. Are we all going to be happy if it stays a concept?
Yeah,
very much. Finally. Yeah,
allegedly.
Besides, the sound probably sucks out of that thing, anyways.
Battery issues. Yeah. Battery issues are supposed to be resolved. We had Mountain Lion 8.1 came out last night, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I installed it across both my machines.
Right. Now, you're the one that would do the proper testing on this, Mr. Forsman. Have you updated them all and tested? You've not tested.
I have done it.
Here you go. An exclusive, hot off the press, because 8.1 only came out last night. And the result is...
I haven't even written it up for ours yet.
we've beaten ours to the punch. Now I'm excited. True. Right, are you going to tell us whether it works or not? Just a piece of rubbish again.
It's improved. The results were not as good as what I got under Lion. Not quite as good. So I've got a Retina MacBook Pro here in the office, a test... unit supplied by Apple. And when we did our original review, it was before Mountain Lion came out, and I was able to get up to 8 hours of battery life using the same procedure I used to test all laptops. It's not 100% scientific in any way, but I basically install the same apps that I use in my day-to-day work at ours. I have them all running at the same time. I keep the brightness set to half. And I just work. I work as long as I can. When we originally reviewed the Retina MacBook Pro, I got up to 8 hours of battery life. After installing after installing Mountain Lion, that went down to about five and a half hours. And it was nothing was different except that I installed Mountain Lion. I was doing everything the same, using the same apps, doing the same kind of work, you know, basically reading websites, writing, listening to some iTunes here and there.
Forsman's day.
Not even the entire time, right. And then, we wrote about this, obviously. And we heard from a lot of users that were saying they had, you know, their battery life was definitely less than it was versus Mountain Lion. And then the update came out yesterday. I installed it first thing. First test I did, I got 7 hours, 5 minutes. The second test was 6 hours, 58 minutes. So it's definitely a big improvement. Not quite the 8 hours that I had hoped for, but you know, definitely pretty much a full day of work now. Whereas before it was cutting out, you know, halfway through.
The chat room is suggesting that it hasn't fixed battery problems for some. Pete has said that the Mountain Lion battery life on his 2011 MacBook Air is not what he expected it to be. I can't read the word he's written. brackets did not fix my battery problems. iCyber Paul said he had a power cut earlier on and 10.8.1 didn't stop his iMac from turning off, which I really can't see why. I think that's expecting a little bit much, perhaps. anyone else in the chat room got anything? I mean, I haven't put it on my laptop yet. Will, have you laptoped it up?
What? Sorry.
Have you put 10.8.1 on your laptop? You know there's an update out to fix your battery life issues.
No, I didn't know there was, and I haven't done that.
Right. Okay.
Go. You know, it's funny. I've noticed something strange, though, since I've updated. I'm having a problem with a couple of USB interfaces. If it doesn't want to recognize them at first, I have to unplug and then replug for it to actually work. And I wasn't having that problem beforehand.
Well, I get that on I get that on all my Macs at some point. Usually the USB cam's the one thing to drop out and then come back on. That's usually a power issue. So it's underpowered USB, or it's the bandwidth's not available on the USB.
Yeah, could be just coincidence. I don't know.
They're not equal, the USB ports on the Macs, are they? One of them's properly powered and the other one isn't.
Well, doesn't it depend which Mac, though? Because on the MacBook, they're not. The forward one is 10 watts.
The MacBook Pro's only got one full power USB port as well.
No, they all have full power USB ports. Some have extra power.
Well, okay. It's 2.0. They're all 2.0.
Some have superpower.
But the forward one, if you look at the one on the MacBook Pro on the left-hand side, the one that's closest to you has got 10 watts and the one at the back's got 5 watts.
Right. Five watts is the standard.
Yeah. You can charge your iPad off the one at the front, but you can't charge it off the one at the back.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it means a lot of people, you plug in an external hard drive with no power, expecting to get enough bus power off the USB to spin up your hard drive, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that does annoy an awful lot of people.
Is there any variances on other models of Mac?
They're all right the way back to the original aluminium MacBook Pro. They've always only had one full power USB port.
I know. And that the white MacBook and black MacBook had the same kind of thing. There was a separation. But I was just wondering if the Mac Mini's got like one that's out of all of them that's overpowered, or they're all equally powered. Or I know because they run direct off mains, but.
No, I think they don't. And the iMacs are all powered as well.
All properly. Same, yeah.
Yeah.
I got my watch mended.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And? Yesterday.
Yeah, well, it was a really nice guy. And he said it's water damage.
That's from your lad sucking it. So it's saliva damage, really, technically.
I didn't mention that. And I hope he doesn't listen, because I said, I didn't know that. I wear it on my watch. And, you know, he said, well, actually, when you're washing your hands and stuff, that could have happened then, couldn't it? And I said, yeah, I suppose it could have done. He said, well, hang on a bit. It's going to be 59 quid.
I've got a Barbie doll in here.
and he came back. He said, well, it'd be okay. And didn't know any water damage. Because it wasn't water anyway. It was saliva, a different thing.
Entirely.
So it wasn't water damage.
Absolutely.
And so that's good.
But, now, talking of Nano, thank you for the segue there.
That's all right. Well, we have prepared this, haven't we?
There was a fantastic article written in Ars Technica this week about that effectively the Nano is only useful for landfill.
That's not the article I wrote.
That's not no.
You're just reading the comments now.
I'm reading the comments. Yes. So Forsman sits down and with his thinking head on, writes a very 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 well-written article that's got some intellectual comments and thought in it, and the comments on the article are that the only thing that the Nano's good for is landfill. So, Chris, talk us through the I mean, they obviously didn't like your line of thinking on this.
That's not everyone. I'll tell you who it seems to really still really like the Nano. Kids and exercise, you know, fitness exercisers, runners, those type of people really love the Nano.
And Will Green.
Will Green.
It's good, so I like it. Brilliant.
They definitely have some ideas. You know, people who have the Nanos and wear them as watches really like that about it. And so a lot of them have some ideas, like, you know, making it Bluetooth, having it like automatically connect with an iPhone or iPod Touch over Bluetooth, and, you know, show your iMessages or notifications of some kind. Even maybe having a little embedded video camera and like doing FaceTime just with your watch, and it connecting, you know, using your phone as do the heavy lifting, but then have the Nano just be like a camera with a Bluetooth connection. So there's some really clever ideas that people came up with. I think there's definitely some room there. I mean, some people had mentioned that. So there's this Pebble concept watch that they generated some funding on Kickstarter, and people are really excited about. And so everybody's like, well, maybe Apple saw that they were like getting like $9 million on Kickstarter and decided, well, hey, we've already got pretty much the hardware necessary to do this. Let's just make it work with iOS 6.
So are Apple going to invest in the Nano in the upcoming event or when iOS 6 comes out, or are they just going to leave it to die?
That's really hard to say. I mean, iPod sales have been basically tanking, really, for the last couple of years. They've been declining for the last couple of years. And a big part of that reason is that, the iPhone has really taken over, where a lot of people would have an iPad and a cell phone, an iPod and a cell phone. Why have both when you can just have an iPhone and you've got, you know, all the functionality right there in one device? But there's still, you know, there's still tons of people who don't use iPhones, or they love Android, or they like having a dumb phone, or whatever reason, but they do want, you know, an actual iPod. The classic, the Nano, the Shuffle, I mean, those haven't been updated in a couple years. iPod or Apple just slapped a coat of white paint on the iPod Touch last year, and that was it. I mean, they didn't change anything except for offering a white version now. The price went down a little bit. They haven't really done anything, and they still, you know, during the holidays sell a lot of units. They're still selling a lot of units, and it's not as, you know, I mean, they're making a non-zero amount of money on this. During the rest of the year, they don't sell that well. So it's really hard to say if they feel like putting the effort into it, but I think there's still opportunity there, and I don't think the effort is really that much to make some of the changes that people have talked about, and especially when they talk about integrating with, you know, iOS devices as well. So I don't know. I want them to do it, is what it boils down to. Really.
My heart says upgrade. My head says, can it? Don't be dumb.
I think it'll stay around. And I think by doing what Chris is talking about, by doing some of those changes, I think we'll make it more to appeal to those kind of people. You know, particularly, I know a lot of people that do the workout thing, and that's what they like. They like something small, compact. A lot of people don't want to use their iPhone because they don't want to get sweat on it, or they don't want to be bothered with that. You know, their phone is their phone, their iPad is their iPad. That's just the way it is. I think Apple needs some type of small device in the market for that niche, and I think that niche will always be there. And especially if you can adapt a camera on it, it would be kind of cool to have a small little camera on the Nano. To be honest, I mean, you could be sitting there, you could do FaceTime, sit there, you could do the whole Knight Rider thing. How about that?
Well, the Apple, and this is interesting, the 8 megapixel camera that's in the iPhone, now that I've taken it apart and put it back together, is brutally tiny. I mean, it's how big is it? The whole unit, including the connector, is only, you know, sort of 10 centimeters long, and the connectors making up five of that, it's probably 5, 10 centimeters, 10 millimeters. It's probably 6 millimeters by 6 millimeters squared by about 4 millimeters deep. It's not huge, and that's got the flash unit in as well. I'm sure you could probably get it in the iPod Nano, definitely.
The iPod Nano runs the old OS, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's going to have to get upgraded to iOS 6, but that's the question of whether there's room for that. But
no, I don't mean that. I mean, it's the really old OS. It's running the same Nano OS that's been running for all, you know, whatever, 5 or 6 years. Although it looks like iOS and it's got that sort of, you know...
The icons,
sort of,
yeah.
Yeah, and it sort of fudged.
Is it 4?
No, it's
not really 4, totally, 3?
Something totally different, isn't it? It's not...
It's not within the iOS structure?
Not at all.
Pick OS or something like that, isn't
PicOS,
it?
That's right. That's the chap, yeah. Yeah. So in order for them to redo it would be pretty much a totally brand new device, and I think that's probably why they haven't changed it for a while.
Questions in the chat room about whether it's got internal processing power enough to use the camera or not, and that would be a good point from Alex.
Mm. Well, there's lots of rumours about the camera, weren't there?
Say again?
There's lots of rumours about the camera, including screenshots of the Nano with a built-in camera.
So you're, I mean, here we go then, fellas. Quick round robin. Is it a go or is it a dead fish?
It's a go. I think it's a go still. I think it's a market for them.
Okay, Carl, you start.
Okay.
It's a go. Your thumbs up. It's a viable.
Yeah, I'm thumbs up. I think the Classic will die, though.
The Classic's been dying for 10 years now.
I think it's dead. I think it's dead this coming year. It'll be dead.
Well, yeah. The spinning media.
If they were going to kill the Classic, they'd have killed it years ago. It sells enough. There's zero, absolutely zero money involved for Apple to keep it going. And there's a niche. It's paid for its development and costs 1,000 times over. And it just sells away in the background. Audio people that want their whole music library on the iPod. You know, older people that you know don't really want an iPod Touch or something. It's definitely got a market, and I don't think they'll be killing it in the, you know, whilst they're still making iPods in any form. And I don't think the Nano will stay as well.
I disagree with that. I think the reason why is because the cloud is taking over. People don't need all of it in their pocket now. They disconnect to Wi-Fi and they get the whole music collection there.
The cloud is great if you live in California and you've got a really fast network and things.
That's true. Match
on my, I've switched to using iTunes Match on my iPhone because I thought this is brilliant. I've got 80 gigs of music. I can have it all on my iPhone. And the net result of that was that I just, on the spot, stopped listening to music on my iPhone because every time I thought I'd listen to something, I was in a lousy 3G connection. It was going to come out of my data allowance. It was going to take 20 minutes to download one song. And all I ended up doing was listening to absolutely nothing at all. And I think that there's a real... Apple sell plenty of those 160 gig machines. And I don't think they'll ever... switch them to flash storage. They won't do anything at all with it. They'll just keep churning them out to the small people market that they've got and make a really nice profit on each one sold.
Will, possible. I agree with it, though, with the connection. Sorry.
Sorry, Will, dead or alive?
Well, I love the Nano. I think it's got possibilities that if it was upgraded in its current form, it would be pretty amazing, really. So... We talked about, what is it, the Fossil, is it? That's right, isn't it?
Fossil watches, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get confused with the Fossil, because remember there was Fossils years ago. Do you remember the Fossil watches? That was probably mid-90s, wasn't it?
No, they're still going. Fossil's got a chain of stores. They sell leather bags and all sorts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we actually had a Fossil in it, didn't it?
Did it?
Yeah, do you not remember? It was like a regular watch, and the dial was... In a Fossil, a real Fossil.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that was years ago. Fossil, yeah. But getting back onto track and stop trying I think it's got real possibilities if they keep the current form factor, but add in sort of Bluetooth and possibly Wi-Fi and stuff like that. It would be superb, wouldn't it?
And Chris, dead or a goer?
I'm going to give it thumbs up.
All right. Okay. I think it's torched. I think it's crap.
It was my birthday present.
Why?
Because I wanted to have a watch where I could go. You know when you go on a dog walk? And I tell you another thing about it. It's really good.
Go on then, Will.
You know, you've got, like, it is an older operating system, and the you connect your iPhone to your Mac, and it arses around for 10 minutes backing up and fa-la-la-la-la, right? You get this little beauty, you connect it to your Mac, and bang, it's it updates in seconds. It's great for that.
It's got no memory.
Well, it just quickly updates. It's really good, really fast. I don't do any of this messing around with backups or any of that. And the other nice thing about it is if I go to a client site, I've kept mine as you know, Windows formatted.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to, I haven't got a USB stick, I can just whack the file straight on my watch. How cool is that?
You are James Bond.
I am James Bond.
You are James Bond. James William Bond.
Yeah.
There we go. iPhone 5 is allegedly in September, most definitely. September the 12th, says the German website. Some bright spark has gone and checked the Moscone booking stuff and noticed that something's blocked out for the 12th. So everyone's running headlong into the 12th, and this includes our very own London Mac user group, who are having an event on the 12th of September in the anticipation of there being a keynote. They've booked an enormous venue. An absolutely enormous venue. It's cost them a fortune. I will be there. I think Alex is probably going to be there as well. And we're anticipating the launch of the new iPhone on the 12th. Everyone is running headlong into 12th of September, and Apple haven't said a peep. There is absolutely nothing coming from anyone about September the 12th.
It would be really funny if all they unveiled was the new Nano.
Willard be happy.
I'd be very happy. That would, actually, because I've only just had one.
A chat room saying that it's not Will Green is James Bond. They're saying James Bond is Will Green. Yeah. Kudos. Are we going to get... I mean, is everyone running headlong into the wrong date? Or is that really just kind of... I mean, is it too early for another phone? Isn't it an 18-month cycle?
No.
It's too early.
No. It's definitely not too early for another phone. I mean, the 4S was, to me, a disappointment. I mean, I'm glad we got Siri. Woohoo. Apple needs something, and they need it right now, because regardless of how Samsung and them are battling a court or whatever, Samsung has the market right now. And Apple needs a reboot, I think, in their phone. And... I'm still not convinced that the 5 is going to do it. I think their phones are doing great. I think the phones are there, but I've been really bored now for the last 2 years of the design of this phone. It has not changed. It's time for something new. And to me, it has to be this year. I thought it was going to be last year, honestly.
Now, let's be fair. The design came out 2 years ago. So, I mean, if you were already bored right when it came out.
No. I'm bored now. I mean, in other words, last year I was expecting something, you know, different, you know, and it was just the 4S, you know, so.
Well, I mean, Storm Gorelli in the chat room is saying that Samsung has the market right now on what planet? But I'm sorry, but from what I understand, you know, Samsung is selling an awful lot of units, well up close to or more than iPhone, and Android is activating ridiculous amounts of phones in comparison to Apple at the moment. The OS for phones is Android, not iOS, not by a long streak.
And I think it was just a few months ago, or a couple of months ago, I think I seen on Bloomberg that the pace of selling from iPhone versus like the Galaxy, the new Galaxy 3, it was every 3-1 or something like that. Now, don't quote me on that, but I know they were outselling Apple more versus how many iPhones were being sold at that time.
I mean,
I think there's a kind of a trick to it, because Apple releases one phone once a year.
True. Yeah.
And if you look at the historical data, you see this just big jump right when it comes out, and then it just levels off and slows down. And then what you're seeing from Samsung is, they've got the Galaxy S2, the Galaxy S3. Those come out once a year, but they're also doing a bunch of different phones. And they're constantly coming out every couple of months. So even though they don't have, the S3 isn't going to sell 40 bajillion in the first weekend like the iPhone does, It's a different kind of approach, and it's a little more like slow and steady wins the race versus like jumping out way ahead one quarter and then waiting four quarters before with nothing basically. So it's tricky, and I think I agree with Kyle though that you know, the design that's leaked so far isn't really, I'm not personally like excited by it. I'm not turned off by it really, but I'm just like, well, you know, I'm going to get it anyway, A, because I've got an iPhone 4 and I'm due for an upgrade. I'm going to get it anyway because I'm a journalist that covers Apple, so I need to keep up with, you know, the hardware. But I'm not excited by it, by what's leaked. I'm wondering if this isn't either on purpose by Apple to kind of throw people off, and they really got something much more amazing in store, or something like that, because I think I agree that I think they really need to do something more, a little more wow to, you know, keep the interest there.
We've lit the blue church paper in the chat room, most definitely. Alex, go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt Dr. Rappaport. Go on, speak, dude.
I was going to say, I'm well up. I mean, I wasn't really feeling any need for the iPhone 4S at all when it came out. My iPhone 4 didn't feel old in the slightest. But now, kind of a year and a bit after that, I'm sat there, the back's cracked, the camera's not taking great pictures.
I'll fix it for you.
The home out, the battery life's down, you know, and I'm just thinking, it just looking at it going, hold on for another month, little phone. I mean, it's the longest I've ever had a phone. I think, you know, it's testament to the strength of the basic phone design that, you know, I bought it on the day the iPhone 4 came out and I've still got it. And it's only in the last few weeks that it started to show any kind of weaknesses.
So can you do circular processor resuscitation on it then if it goes out? Bit of CPR. iPhone CPR. Chat room is saying, Alex, number of 10 million units sold in the last quarter for Galaxy alone. 10X says it's not about the units, it's about the profit, and Apple has all the profit in smartphones. That might be true. Numbers of units doesn't equate to number of dollars. Alex says most of the people that he knows are coming out of contract and are leaving iPhones for Samsungs. Question from Paul, whether they're actively choosing them or not. Alex then says it's getting boring. The same phone, just a little faster, slightly better camera. That's all old hat now. They've got to do something more radical.
But I don't think
the Samsung Galaxy 3 does look nice. And I've got to say, it looks a little too plasticky for me, but it's a cracking phone. And that screen is just so beautiful at the size that it's at. Would I be tempted? Yes, I would. If Samsung said, I tell you what, dump your iPhone in a bin with us. We'll give you the resale value against the iPhone, against the Samsung, and every application that you've got on there that's in the Android store, regardless of cost, we'll make sure it's on that phone when you get it. I'm gone. Because
but that's a lot of caveats, isn't it? I mean, the iPhone isn't just the phone. It's all the apps you've got, and it's the life, you know, your life on the phone.
Yeah, but that's the point, is if you look at the apps that I've got, all of the apps that I use regularly, I could probably get for free in the Android store anyway. And if Samsung was saying, well, I'll tell you what, the ones that you can't, that are in there, we're going to give you free as charge as part of the deal, there'd be a lot of swaps. I think there'd be a lot of swaps, especially. Yeah. And if you're saying that the rumored phone that's coming out as the next iPhone is 4 inches long, it's got that little point extra bit on it, and it's a tad longer, set one set of icons extra, with no other real changes in it whatsoever. Same pixelage on the camera, same sound system that's in it. I'm not going to buy it. I like my 4S. I love Siri, don't get me wrong, but it's not enough. I don't use Siri enough. I don't use any of the features anywhere near enough. My 4 would be fine at the moment. I wouldn't need 4S. I like having the extra camera power in it. I'll say that, and it is a good day out snapper, and it's good for work, taking little pictures of things if I need one just to show people. But it is not the one that I'm seeing in all the rumors, especially since they shoved a dock connector in that's completely different, because that means a complete new set of accessories as well now. Sorry, Apple, you've lost me.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Yeah. I think that out of all of the improvements people keep going on about with the iPhone, they keep saying, oh, the screen's going to be a tiddly inch bigger, and the new dock connector, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Or, you know, all the other bits and bobs, the camera. I mean, going from my 4 to the rumored 5, hopefully the camera is going to be a big improvement, and that's, you know, that is quite nice. But out of all those things, and my wife is the same thing, what I would really like the new iPhone 5 to do is enable me to talk to my clients on the phone reliably.
You know, you say that, but I don't. I haven't had any drop calls at all on my iPhone.
I tell you, there's hardly a day goes by as I'm whizzing around that I couldn't cheerfully wind the window of the van down and sling the phone out the window.
What network are you on?
O2.
Right. Well, there's your first problem. They're shocking.
I live. There's an O2 cell tower on the fire station, 75 yards from our house.
You're too close, mate, you see.
And I can't get 3G connection most of the time when I'm walking the dog or stuff.
I'm on 3, and I haven't gone anywhere where I don't get coverage in the last 6 months, and I haven't dropped a single call since I've had an iPhone 4S, not one.
I can't speak to the 4S, but I mean, even when my phone is showing good, strong signal, you know, I'm halfway through a conversation and I realise the other person hasn't said anything for 2 minutes because they've gone.
Now, Will, you live in the back end of Sheepshaggers Land. So which network are you on?
O2. Terrible.
I told you, it's the network, you see. Now, I've had my phone at your place, mate. I get a decent signal on 3.
Yeah, 3's not too bad. My iPad is on 3 and I pretty much always get a great signal with that. My wife's phone is on T-Mobile, which is good because it swaps between T-Mobile and Orange, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, because so they're everything everywhere, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they've joined up. Now, that Vic gets a great signal most of the time. I'm excited about the... I mean, I've got an iPhone 3GS, and you lot, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, my wife's phone is a 4, and I compare my phone to hers, and it's like slow as a dog. It's terrible. So I'm really excited about the new phone. I think it should be great. But I mean, the thing is, I tell you what the problem is. This is the problem. Because Apple have committed to the App Store, and because of the sort of resolution of the apps, there's not that much they can do. I mean, mm-hmm. in the past, when a phone was a phone, remember the old banana phone, the Nokia banana phone? It was amazing, a wonderful piece of design and everything else. I mean, they can't make the phone round or oval or anything like that because of the sort of the fixed format of the screen and the success of the App Store has sort of pushed them into a corner a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, they can't go too far away from the ratios.
They can't. What else can you do? I mean, you can make it thinner, and you can make it faster, and it can change its colour. But other than that, they can't do anything else. And after all, it's only a phone. I mean, it's not that important, is it?
I think they could make it more custom.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say, I think they could make it more customizable. And I know that's like a taboo word to say in the Apple world, you know. No. But I think they need to have it where people feel more like it's my phone. And I think that's what people are getting from Android right now. They thought, oh, yeah, well, your phone looks different from that phone and that phone and that. Well, yes, I've customized it. I've done everything. And the only way you can really do that now, and even still limited, is by jailbreaking the thing. I think people want to have more of a, you know, I wouldn't say an emotional attachment to their phone, but something that's a reflection of them. And you're really tied down to what iOS will let you reflect, shall we say.
Dude, there are people in the chat room looking for a length of rope. You are lucky that you're in the Philippines.
Oh,
you've
good.
You've got distance in safety. I mean, I think we've got some fanboys in the room. Let me just say that.
Shall I?
Sacrilege. Blasphemy.
Does anyone want to hear?
Go ahead, DHM.
Does anyone want to hear how my experience of setting up Retina Display MacBook Pros is going with customers?
I don't want to know.
Oh, yes, come on. What's the issues then, sir?
Well, at the moment, we've got the last week 4 Retina MacBook Pros for customers, 2 failures with both graphics cards.
Oh.
50%. And then a third one is dodgy.
Dude, 50% across 2 units. It's not a sample.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, Gallup aren't sweating, I'm telling you.
Hang on.
That's a 50% failure rate.
It is.
Did I say, the chat room saying I swore? Did I swear? I didn't think I swore.
No, I
didn't think I swore.
I don't know. British swearing is different than American swearing, so I'm never quite sure.
Yeah.
No, I said it. I can't say it.
I wouldn't say that's swearing anyway. I've just read it, and that's not swearing, is it?
I don't know. Anyway, go on. You got sorry, DHM. What's that?
No, I was just going to say you'll have to debate my 50% failure rate for 2 minutes without me because a customer's just walked into
all right,
the door.
Mate, just leave a picture of yourself static. We'll come back to you.
Is it Patrick?
It'll be just like last week.
No, it's not Patrick. That would be cool.
How about Queen Anne? Oh, no. Princess Anne. Not Queen Anne. Princess Anne.
The keynote dude. Now, the keynote dude who worked for Jobs did all of his keynotes for him, set him up with his PowerPoints, with his keynote slides and everything. I can't believe I just nearly said PowerPoint. He was told by Steve Jobs, you're great. You've got a job for life. And apparently they sacked him. So he's suing now.
Yeah.
Because
great.
Steve Jobs' ghost tells him that he had a job for life. Mm-hmm. What do we think?
I think Steve Jobs' ghost should have told me he should have got it in writing in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but yeah. The thing is, the only thing you could say is if you're talking about on evidence, then fair enough. But on the weight of thought processes, you know that's the kind of thing that Jobs would say.
Yeah, but why are they sacking him? I mean, I'm not being funny. Why are they sacking him? Why would they do that? What's he done?
Siri took his job.
He must be diddling Tim Cook's wife. I don't know.
He must have done something pretty serious.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting he is. What? I said he must be. That doesn't mean I think he is. And it doesn't mean I have any proof.
I don't know.
I
heard in Britain you don't have free speech, so I'm pretty surprised I hear you say that.
No, I said I think. You see, I can say what I think. I don't say it's real.
Speculation.
I'm not saying he definitely was.
Uh-huh.
He's diddling Tim Cook's wife would be liable. He might be diddling.
Sharon says, "Keep digging." You
know, the chat says I should stop. Russ in the chat room says he thought that Tim Cook was supposed to be gay anyway, but I don't think that's true either. So,
yeah.
Steve Jobs also thought that a holistic cure for cancer would work. Good point. Thanks, Jenks. Goodrich, who worked for Jobs since 1998, was promised by the late chairman of the world's most valuable company in a one-to-one meeting, no witnesses, in May 2005, that he'd always have a job at Apple, according to the complaint. There we go. It doesn't say why he was shoved. So
Here's the problem, though. He's saying it's what I said versus what a dead man said. I mean, there's no way to prove it, and there's no way to unprove it.
No.
I just can't even imagine even sitting in a meeting with a lawyer being like, I think we can do this.
Yeah, I mean, when he said you've got a job for life, did Steve say whose life? See, it could be his.
Oh, yeah.
Ah-ha-ch. There you go. never mind.
I said, wait, a taste of soup. He said, where's the spoon? I said, ah-ha.
Thank you. I'm glad that someone knew that I was talking about coming to America. Now, there was a thing with Bluetooth this week. The Bluetooth LE Demo T1 key fob thing. Have you read this story?
No, I have not seen this.
Tech Basic have released the 2.3 Lynx iOS to a world of sensors through Bluetooth. No pesky computers in the way. If a Bluetooth sensor doesn't already have iOS support, pairing it up can often involve a patient wait for an official app or some non-quite official tweaking. Apple won't allow it in any old authentication device through the gates. ByteWorks updates takes those barriers down. But I don't understand what the barriers are that they've taken down or what this device does. You're intelligent, Chris. Do you know?
Yeah, so...
she didn't ask me, Rankin.
Well, no, you're intelligent as well, Will. I just didn't think you'd know.
Go on,
Will, let's Will, you answer it. Go for it, mate.
No. Let Chris answer it first.
I've got the camera on you now, so there you go. Just take us through it.
No, let Chris answer first, and then I will comment on his his feeble reply.
Indeed. I apologize straight away. So the issue is there's
Greedy's only filling so he can Google it. Go ahead. Anyway.
So there's all these little sensor devices that can connect via Bluetooth.
Yep.
But on the iPhone, the Bluetooth stack doesn't have like a standard a lot of the standard Bluetooth connections so that any app can use it. Your app has to be designed to connect to a specific device.
Bluetooth stack, yes.
So what TechBasic has done is they've basically made this app that you can run that will connect with general Bluetooth devices.
Yep.
So you don't have to have a special app for each sensor.
So it's a translator.
It's just designed so you can connect to any sensor, pull in the data, and then you can put that data send it wherever you need to. If you need to put it into a spreadsheet or into a presentation or whatever, you can use any iOS device to collect that data and record it with whatever type of sensor that has a Bluetooth connection. So it's really handy for folks, scientists in particular, people taking field data. I don't know. I think it's quite clever.
It is. If that's what it does, that's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. Will, any further comment?
Well, to be honest, no. I think Chris covered the main points there.
Yeah.
About the Bluetooth stack and scientists.
Great. Scientists. Excellent. Last story then.
So what does it do then?
Thanks,
Will. Oh, I fancy that.
You're back.
I'm back. That Princess Anne, she brought her mum with her.
Really?
You're kidding. Princess Anne came round with her mum.
A threesome.
Yeah. Oh, my life, no.
She brought her mum an iPad.
That's your knighthood gone then, Greeny.
Well, did old Harry pop in at some point?
Yeah.
With his tackling?
Was he already dressed for the occasion?
You oi, this is a family shed.
Is this Bluetooth?
Come on, Grandma.
Is this Bluetooth meets Rosetta Stone, says Pete in the chat room. Yes. Moving on swiftly from naked Prince Harry jokes. So
I would have given it a go, wouldn't you, if I was him?
All right, steady on.
He's a prince.
Exactly. I don't think he's done anything wrong. Leave him alone. You can drop your winkle out anywhere in public. Should be allowed. Right.
I agree with that. Oh, my God.
A startup company called Double Robotics has taken a Segway-esque type thing and programmed these little tiny Segway-type devices that carry iPads and carry them anywhere and everywhere. And they're charging you $2,500, but you can pre-order one for $1,999 if you want one.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny. The guy on the iPad kind of looks like Alex.
Yeah. You think?
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of.
I think he looks like McJeebs off Men in Black. Jack Jeebs.
It's almost as if this is how you look 10 years younger, process, isn't it?
He looks like Dr. Happy Max, is Alex Fox. We're just going to have a round robin of insults soon, aren't we? So basically, you can put FaceTime and that kind of thing running, stick it on this thing, and it'll go around large workplaces chatting to the workers and having one-to-ones with them. So there you go. You can get fired via an iPad on a Segway now.
Great, isn't it?
I mean, and we were mocking the iPad Nano. $2,000, $2,500 for one of these. Is that going to work? No. Though, having said that, did you notice the report this week in the BBC that there's a hospital in Belfast that's doing this? There's a hospital 25 miles away that doesn't have an ITU unit, and they've got a remote doctor system that travels around, and the guy 25 miles away steers it from a joystick, and he talks to his patients.
I tell you what, I bet they don't put those in mental health units, do they?
Also, that's not to be pedantic, but that's a tautology, because the U in ITU stands for unit. So you don't have an ITU unit, you just have an ITU.
I do apologise, Dr. Happy Mac. You piss off in the middle of my podcast and then you come back and correct me.
Correct does.
Yes, thank you for not making me look silly. I do appreciate it. I will, in future, when I say ITU unit, I'll know that I should be expecting a slap.
But you won't say it again, will you now?
No, I won't. Thank you very much. Yes.
I'll tell you who's being a unit.
Jimmy the Greek says, could I have one for a strip club? Does that work in there?
Ooh.
Oh, this podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're fantastic. We love them to bits. If you're thinking of buying anything, get it from them. Anything for the web at all. co-location services, domain names, dedicated servers, virtual servers, anything like that. UK2.net are the people to go get it. They look after us as well. So if you're supporting them, you're supporting us.
If you're thinking of anyone else, you're crazy.
You are, absolutely. There's no question. You think of a name for a website that you want, like EDAM Project, you can go to UK2.net and you can buy it there. Within a couple of minutes, you can have a .com for £5 a year, or you can have a .co.uk for £5 for 2 years. And you get 20% off that as well. So it'll come down to just around £4, which is just incredible. Go to our website, BritishTechNetwork.com, and then you just click on the UK2 logo. That opens up in another tab on your browser. Go back to our tab and click on sponsors, and that's got all the offer codes that are in there: British Tech DNS, British Tech Server, British Tech VPS, VPN, and so on. When you do that, make sure you put your offer code in before you put in your payment details, because otherwise you only get to put one offer code in. If you put them all in, you get reduction in the entire basket. You could end up walking away with hardly anything in terms of costs. But please support UK2 because they support us. We love them to bits. And we've got another sponsor as well who's coming this month on the web show, a company called Pusher.com. And if you'd like to go and see what they do some really geeky stuff associated with the web that I don't understand, but Paul does. He's got them on. Have a listen to the web show. And if you want to just go to their site and just check it out for us, go and see what it's about. Go to pusher.com/web show, and they'll be able to fill you in on what they do as well. But they've started sponsoring the network as well, so thank you to Pusher. Please go and click through and have a look at what they've got and support them as well. Do appreciate it. Right then, have we got any cool things? Do you like to start us off, DHM?
Yes, I've got a cool thing that money can't buy at the moment, but hopefully very soon money will be able to buy it. And I'm hoping that my money will buy it, because it looks to me like it could be the rescuing of Thunderbolt.
Right.
Which is distinctly underwhelming at the moment. But I've got a couple of clients that have been running big Thunderbolt Promise raid arrays, and they are pretty gorgeous, but they're pretty flipping expensive. But I've been looking at the new two things that have promised us really should be pretty much up and running almost, you know, as we speak, is that there's new J4 and J2 enclosures. And the J4 looks like the baby for me, which is 4 2.5-inch SSDs rated in a Thunderbolt enclosure.
Right. That looks very good. Is,
I think, going to be the sort of a real kickstarter for Thunderbolt storage, because I think for iMacs and Mac Minis, 4 SSDs connected via Thunderbolt rated up there, they promise to say that you should be getting about 20 gigs a minute throughput.
But what about a price though?
Well, no prices at the moment.
Yeah, see, that's where it falls down. That's where I don't trust it.
Mm. But as I said, I mean, the main price component is going to be 4 SSDs, realistically, isn't it? The rest of it's just reasonably priced. And I'm going on the sort of the bigger Promise RAID drives, which I've seen in quite a few customers' installs, and they've all been absolutely fantastic. So, you know, they're not a fly-by-night company. They certainly know this stuff, and I think this is a thing.
Excellent. Good pick. Kyle, what do you have, sir?
I have a game called Nova Golf, and it's actually a pretty good simulation game. It's and the graphics are actually pretty good too. I mean, you're not going to get any, you know, justification. Probably.
I've got to say, the little still image that I got when I clicked on the image to go and have a look at it looked pretty crappy, but that looks quite decent.
Yeah, the icon is also, it's, you know, when you go look at it through the App Store, it is a little misleading. The play, however, is really, really good, and the controls are very simple to figure out. It's very accurate. The putting's very good on it. And to me, if for $1.99, it's definitely one of the best app, sort of, shall we say, game simulations for a golf game. Beats the hell out of Tiger Woods, and you don't have all that in-app purchase crap, too, so... That's one reason why I bought it. It's hours and hours of fun over the weekend.
For the whole family.
Yes. And more.
And more. Well done. Good pick, mate. Mr. Forsman, what do you have for us, sir?
I don't know if I can show it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just see. Keep it to yourself then.
Well,
don't do a Prince Harry on us.
No. Nothing like that. Let's see if we can get everything going over here. Everybody getting sick yet?
No. Come on. You can do it. Hold it steady.
Get it up there.
I've heard that phrase before.
That's what Harry said.
Yeah, that's what Harry said, yeah.
Oh, it's a block.
Yeah, this little guy right here.
Yeah.
Is a Lantronix XPrint server.
Right.
It's a little tiny little device, but you just plug it into your router, and it lets any of your network printers work over AirPrint.
Right. Absolutely any.
It's really cool. It's a little expensive. It's $99. And it, truth be told, there are some cheap inkjet printers you can get out there that are like around the same price that already have AirPrint built in. So if you're just looking for a cheap printer that can do AirPrint, this is the thing for you. But if you already have a nice printer, expensive one at home that can't do AirPrint, this is the solution for you.
Excellent.
I really like it. You can get some software that runs on a Mac and sort of sets up its own AirPrint server and does the same kind of thing. The problem is here at our house, we just have laptops. We don't have any desktops or anything that's turned on all the time and running that we could use as a server. So this little device plugs in, uses less than a watt of power, and just sits there waiting to send your print jobs from your iPads, your iPhones to your printer for you.
Price?
$99.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And Greeny, you've put your tip in the document. Thank you very much. If you could paste your links in, go on.
The elephant in the room, Chris, what is that on your upper lip?
This?
Yeah.
In the US we call it scruff.
Oh, is it? Was a moustache? I thought you were warming up for
No.
Movember.
It's not an actual, and I wouldn't. Call it a moustache.
I get the impression, Chris, that you're like me. If I wanted a moustache by November, I should have started in July last year.
Right. Precisely.
Yeah.
It's called I woke up 5 minutes before the photo show started. And
No. That's about 3 days on there, dude.
Yeah. I don't shave every day.
I mean,
no way.
This is me. I haven't shaved for 3 days.
No, I don't shave every day either.
My wife grows facial hair faster than I do.
Oh.
No, she won't slap me for that because she really does. No, is it? Right, Greeny, what's yours, mate? You've got a huge explanation in the chat room here. Or in the doc.
It's better be good.
I am trepidation, mate. Tell us.
No, it's quite a sensible one. If you I do a lot of website development, and if you're a website developer and you make something that looks absolutely beautiful in Safari on your Mac, and then you go to a client site and you show them, and they've got some crappy old PC running IE6 and stuff like that, and you say, oh, just type in the domain, and there it is. Isn't it lovely? And then you go, oh, my God, it looks so ugly. So it's always good to test your site in IE6, IE7, and IE8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a Mac user, it's a right pain in the ass because to put those sort of versions of IE on takes a lot of work. But no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. If you go across to the show notes or Snotes now, isn't it? Snotes?
Yeah, Snotes, yeah.
It's a fantastic little thing. So first of all the instructions are there. All you do is download Sun's VirtualBox, totally free. Stage one, but I should point out that it doesn't work in Mountain Lion at the moment, but they're working on that. At the moment, it doesn't work in Mountain Lion.
Okay.
So you install that, done. Then you open the terminal and you just copy and paste the command line from the show notes. That I think it's about stage number three or something. If you want to, well, I did. I installed all of them, 6, 7, 8. And it just downloads horrible Windows. It installs and it downloads, I think it's Windows XP, Windows Vista Premium, and Windows 7, and then puts the correct version of IE corresponding to that operating system. And it configures it all for you. Now, it takes a while. It probably takes about 4 hours to download all of it. But that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything after that. There's no configuration or anything. You just then, once you've typed in that command line, it goes off and does its thing and downloads the operating systems and straight into VirtualBox. It downloads the IE and everything, all these disk images, and configures them for you. And so you, then you just have to open VirtualBox, click on the version of IE you want to test your website in.
That's cool.
And jobs are good. And the other nice thing, because it's virtual and they've got like these versions of Windows have got 30-day time limits, you can just snapshot after you've checked your, make sure your site works okay, and just keep rolling back so you'll never go past the 30 days. Good.
Excellent.
Excellent.
You can have it free because it doesn't, you cannot expire the 30 days.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
You don't expire the 30 days. I assume you could, if you'd want to, install native Windows programs on there. Why you'd want to do that, I don't know. But you could do. But it's mainly meant for website developers to test their operating systems in different
excellent
situations.
Pick. Excellent yeah. pick. I'm impressed with that one. And it was sensible.
It was good, wasn't it?
Not some ghosty thing.
Well, normally you say excellent pick and then move on without actually listening to what the person
no,
said.
No, I've listened to everything you said, mate. Oh, I always listen to everything you say.
Yeah, but you don't listen to anybody else much.
It's whether I like it or not. No, because the thing is, I mean, this is hard. Aaron Claydon came a couple of weeks ago and sat here, and he was surprised at how much goes on with me switching the shows and stuff and picking stories up and dragging fixtures across and then putting a back in on them and putting them up. And that's the hard part, is that I don't get to listen to all of the things that you guys say. And sometimes when I listen to the shows back, I hear things that you guys have said, and I wish I'd come back on them, but I just haven't heard it. So
you're not listening to us then?
No, this is like driving a Formula One car, mate, doing this stuff, I'm telling you. You've been a bit harsh there, dude.
I do notice, you know, when you switch between the various views, that's you doing it, is it?
I do everything. I watch the chat room. I drag pictures in and put backings on them. So when you see the little Mac thing that comes up that's got the back on, I've put that on as well while you guys are talking. So
that's that's fair enough.
So I do try and listen, but sometimes I don't. Well, you're absolutely right, and I do apologise. I should. I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah, so you should be.
I'll go and sit in the corner afterwards.
Okay.
With
on the bottom
you
of
always
the stairs.
Sit in the
bottom
corner. Your whole office is a corner.
It is, no way. I've got an air conditioner being fitted this weekend, though, so it should be a lot cooler. It's not too bad this week. But my pick is a simple little application called ePick. I think it's £2.49. It's effectively just nothing more than a screensaver and slideshow presenter. So you take all your photos, you point it to a specific folder, and when your slideshow starts, when your screensaver starts, the things skid across. You can get loads of different ways that the images can be shown. They can scroll across in front of you, which I know that's happened before. I think it was on PS3 actually did this scroll across thing with your images. It looks nice and it's really easy, and you can change the speed that it comes across and all that kind of stuff. Here's where it's really great, though, because if you get something like Camtasia 2 from TechSmith, which is great at screen captures, what you can end up doing is getting this thing to run in a window and capturing that program using Camtasia, and you can make a movie of slideshows going across. So if you want to send something to a customer, you've got a bang load of images and you just want to send and say, look, here's the rushes, here's what I shot. You can do that. You can get rid of all of the text. And then if you stick it into Final Cut Pro, you can stick your own logos on it and that kind of thing. And you can send across what's a really, really impressive slideshow that looks like you've manufactured it as a business for yourself. And give it away, but you need something like Camtasia too, like I say. So go and see them. TechSmith.com will give you that, but any screen capture type stuff will do it. But ePick just kind of shoves the photos across the front of your screen really, really nicely. They're very good.
Sweet.
So that does not allow you, so ePick doesn't allow you to export it then?
No, ePick does. I haven't played with it enough, and I think you can export as a slideshow, but whether it exports as a movie, I don't think it does.
Oh, I see, yeah, right.
But I need to have a play. It might. But I just wanted to do something very quickly, and I looked for slideshows in the App Store and found this, and I used Camtasia 2 to make a little slideshow movie to send to a customer, and it worked really, really well. So there you go. If you've got screen capture software, the thing that's nice about ePick is it just shows the images very nicely. It's very artistic.
another thing with Camtasia and stuff like that, as you say, screen capture software. When I do my video podcast and you take it out of the Final Cut and you go through the whole compression process, it's a complete bloody nightmare. You end up with a file that's like 5 gigabytes and all that.
Yeah.
And if you can't be arsed with all that, just play your video as it is on Final Cut, or Camtasia, and capture it. And it's a bit of a workaround, but it works really well.
No, Camtasia will capture live screen as the whole screen. Yeah. So that's how Gazmaz does his little tip videos. He captures the whole screen. But you can zone it in on an application only. And even if you move your mouse around, it doesn't show the mouse on the app then.
It's brilliant.
Camtasia 2 is awesome.
You don't have to worry about sort of compression and...
Yeah.
Because that confuses the hell out of me. I never figured it out.
No. But having said that, Handbrake's great as well if you have got a really big video. I mean, I've taken stuff that's a couple of gig and got it down to under 200 meg, just putting about 300 kilobits per second, and it pushes out a great piece of video, and it's really good quality. That's all I do with these for showing them at the weekend.
Have you seen Don's workflow?
Don's brilliant. Don's really got... I mean, Don's knowledge of Handbrake is you need to try and carve it out of his brain and store it, because otherwise...
No, it's obscene. The man is obsessed. There is about a dozen processes he goes through,
yeah.
And I don't reckon any of them are necessary. He just loves it. It's like, he loves it. He can't help himself.
Yeah, the batch processing as well is good on Handbrake, and you can queue it up. I mean, at the weekend after I've bounced all the videos out, I just sit and queue them up in Handbrake and leave them to run, and an hour later they're all done.
I reckon it does mild flagellation during the process, and that's why it likes to extend it.
What Moving on, then. Let's end on a high note.
You know Don will never be back now after
Don's
he listens
not coming
to this.
Back. He doesn't listen to this. That's fine. He doesn't listen to it, ever. He won't listen to this one. If he listens to this one, we'll know about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, because we'll never see him again.
No, we won't see him again. Don will be back next week. We're back again next week. We've got the big show on Thursday night, then we've got the photo show at 2 p.m., and we've got the Mac show at 3:30 p.m. as well. We're also, I think, next weekend, we're coming back for the GP season. It's going to go to Belgium, to Franchencourt. So on the Sunday night or the Monday night, we'll have the F1 show, which will be great. That's been off for 4 weeks now. Looking forward to that. Have a great weekend and good week, and thanks for listening.